Thank you. Maybe seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're on a part three series on listening to Jesus or listening to Him. The story that we've been looking at is the Transfiguration. It's a very important piece in Scripture, or it wouldn't be there, right? Very important piece. It's where Jesus goes upon the mountain and he's with his three of his disciples, James and John and Peter. They're on that mountain. He is transfigured before him. This transfiguration, the word is metamorphosis. He changes before their eyes physically. The Bible says there's light that comes out of him, that his robes become white as light. There is something significant happening on the mountain. It is a significant, it's a glorious, it's a wonderful event. So wonderful and maybe so confusing, not only that, but then Moses and Elijah appear and they're talking to Jesus about Jesus' exodus, and that's the literal word, Jesus' exodus, and how he's getting ready to depart from the world, and they're just amazed. And so amazed is Peter that Peter says, "Hey, it's good that we're here. Why don't I build you a house, Moses a house, in Elijah's house?" And before he could say anything else, this great voice from heaven cries out and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Or listen to him. And what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is that great events in our lives really just point to the change. They don't really, they have the opportunity to change us. But having a great event like a revival service or a youth camp or all those kinds of things where we experience and we see great things doesn't necessarily mean that's going to change us. Because we've all been there, we've all seen it. Where God, we see God moving and we acknowledge that, but there's never a change. Maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, we're back to the same as we were, right? On May 30th, 1981, at 2 o'clock p.m. in Houston, Texas, at West Memorial Baptist Church, there was a ceremony where I married my bride, John Ann Birdsong. I committed my life to her. That was a great event, wasn't it? Wasn't it a great event? It's in-laws. That's my in-laws saying, "Yeah, it's a great event." It's a great event. But how many great events have we seen, such as a marriage and a wedding ceremony, where really change really didn't happen? A matter of fact, it was good for a day, good for a week, good for a month, good for a year, maybe good for a few years. 50% of what we hear is that marriages end in divorce. See, that wedding ceremony would not make me, it might make me a husband, but it would not make me a great growing husband. It would not do that. Matter of fact, the vow that we made that day was that I would love and honor and cherish. That I would walk according to the scriptures that say, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Scriptures that would say, "Live with your wife in an understanding way and grant her honor." Scripture that would say, "Wives, be to your husbands as you are the Lord, and see to it that you respect." Husbands, nurture, nourish like you do your own body. Well, folks, I can't do all that at the altar. I'm just saying it right there. I've got to go out and I've got to live that commitment. I've got to live that event. And as I received my wife that day and she received her husband, we walk out the commitment and we walk it out the rest of our lives. And that's where success in marriage comes from. It's the same thing with the revival service or the invitation or something that God spoke to you and you made a commitment and you got called. Well, the Bible says that you are to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. You run from that place toward continuing to run toward God Almighty. And in running to Him and listening to Him day by day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you'll look back and you'll see the change. And others will see the change in your life. Now, doesn't mean that when I come to Christ that there's no immediate change. No, I believe that with all my heart. I've got to walk this thing out. I've got to walk it out. And from what I understand about this passage of Scripture and just where I've been reading it and studying it and bringing it to you is that Jesus says, listen, yeah, this is a great experience, but you know what? God says, but you know what? This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in Him. You got to listen to Him. Don't depend upon the event or the place or where it happened. You walk this out. You know, there's a great illustration of this, and it's a negative illustration, and I want to speak to you about it just real well to the rest of the service. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The children of Israel, the children of Israel had great experiences with God, did they not? I mean, when it came to the place where Moses shows up and there's 10 plagues and there's the parting of the sea and there's these fabulous, phenomenal things happening to this group of people. I mean, it's just pouring out. These things are happening to Egyptians, but listen, these things that are happening before Israel's eyes is phenomenal. Bible says that when they took off and they went out from Egypt, that they began a journey, and all of a sudden, things began to go wrong. They had saw the great deliverance and the great work of God, and yet walked away from it, forgetting it. Notice, we're going to just look at a few verses in 10, and I suggest that you go and read the whole thing, because it's powerful, especially to verse 13. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers, watch this, they were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And the rock was Christ, was Messiah. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, and they were laid low in the wilderness. And these things happen, they happen for our example, that we wouldn't crave evil things as they craved. And then he'll talk about a few things that happen, where they would grumble, or where they would act immorally, or where they test God, and they would do all these things. And you know, I look at that, and you look at that, and you say, gosh, God, they saw all these works, they saw all these things, and yet they got to the places they got to the place of the sea and got through, and then they got to the promise, to right to the edge of the promised land, and they didn't go any further. Matter of fact, they slipped back into immorality and grumbling and complaining and junk. So much for the great experience. So much for the great life that this deliverance that we went out of. So much for that. I mean, God is such a great God that will show His ways and show His works so that we might believe this great God as we move on into this life. But it's not going to be the experience that's going to get us through. Oh, we remembered and it was great and it was nice, but it's what am I going to do today? How am I going to live this wonderful day that our great God has given to us to live? How will I live? And how do I want to live? Not how do I have to live, but how do I want to live? I want to live according to what God says. Because the other is pretty pitiful. And has pretty pitiful results. Turn to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. This is where we're going to kind of camp out the rest of the day. I'm going to read the whole passage to you. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to move all the way to 19. And what I want to do is just over the next couple of minutes together, the last few minutes together, is to talk about how do we listen to God? How do we hear His voice? What is it that has to be taking place in our lives that we're listening and hearing? This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Right? What I love about that is that if God says that, then God has a word for us. And He has a word for us every day. You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness and was being tempted to turn stones into bread, what did Jesus say? He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm not going to do that. My life is not going to be based upon food. It's going to be based upon the Word of God. It's not going to be based on the seen, what I can see. It's going to be based on what the unseen is, what the temporal is. And to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth, I've got to be in a position to listen. Notice a couple of things about verse 7. Verse 7 says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, verse 9, where your fathers tried me by testing me. And they saw my works for 40 years. And I was angry. I was angry with this generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they don't know my ways. And as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care then, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For because we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as when they provoked me. And who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And in whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Every morning when I wake up and I look at my schedule and my calendar, I have this thought. I might have an appointment at 8, one at 9, sometimes 11, 1, sometimes it's a group. And I always have this thought as a pastor, your pastor, God, how can I be a part of getting, I just want to be a part of getting these folks where they need to be today or in this life. I think about that every day. Don't you? I want to be a part of getting folks from A to B, from where they are to where they need to be, from B to C to D. What I love about today is that we see a little bit of that. Not me. I mean, maybe as a pastor and having led other folks, but Carl is a product of you being a part of his life, of getting him where he needs to be. And that's what we all ought to be about in our homes with our children, in our marriages. It's what we ought to be about in our jobs. God, how can I be used to be a part of getting folks where they need to be? From lostness to savedness. From the pew to service. From depression and sadness to joy. It's not that I'm doing it, and it's not that staff's doing it, or it's you're doing it. It's just we're just a part of doing that. God has this great vision of getting us to new and fresh places. And I see this in this Exodus. I want to get you out of Egypt, and I want to bring you to the promised land. That's what I want to do. I want to get you from A to B. I want you to get from slavery to freedom. I want you to get from owning nothing to owning everything. I want you to get from a place where you're under the yoke to where you're leading and you're serving. And there's a blessedness about your life. It may still be hard. It still may be difficult, but there's a blessedness about it. And that's what I see here in the scripture. It's this great God who's wanting to get a whole nation to the promised land. But there's principles to that. If God's going to lead, I've got to follow. And if I've got to follow, it means I've got to listen to His voice. And that's why He says today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. You know, that's the easy thing to do. Harden your heart. Bible calls the hardened heart a stubborn heart. It's a heart that says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. And God wants to bring us to a place of, I don't want to do that, to, I'm not going to do that, to, I want to do that. I want to be a part. I want to hear the voice of God, so that while God is leading me and directing me, that I might be a part of not only getting to the places I need to be as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a leader, as a pastor, but also a church and church folks that need to get to the places they need to be. And I just want to tell you, I'm just convinced with everything that I am, that it's just based on how well we'll listen to the voice of God. As we read our Bibles, as we open Scripture, and God, and reflect on what God is saying to us. So the question is how do we do that? Because really, if you would look, and I'm going to say this reference, I had all intention of moving through it, but it's just too long. If you're taking notes, write down Numbers 13, 25 through 14, 4. Okay, this is a little scene at the Jordan River when the spies come back from reporting of what's in the land, and 10 spies give out a negative report and 2 give out a positive. And in that day, the Bible says that they rejected God's word and said, no, I'm not going any farther than this. I'm not going to do it. And you had 2 guys, you had Caleb and you had Joshua, said, yes, we must go. God's going to give it to us. Yeah, we're like grasshoppers in their place, but guess what? They're like grasshoppers in God's sight. They didn't really say that, but could have. I mean, that was the spirit, that was the heart. We can do this. We can move from this place to the next. God's favor is upon us. God's promises are true. His word is true. Let's quit looking at just all the difficulties and all the things that seem impossible about this and look to our great God who makes all things possible. Let's move from this place to that place. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. We're too scared. You know, fear will do that to you. Fear will harden your heart. It'll harden your heart. It will absolutely, totally paralyze you from moving to the next things that God wants you to move to. Or, here's this one, or just to push through the season that you might be in. And God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak it into existence in our lives so that we can move to the places where we're truly being a part of the kingdom of God. So how do we listen? How do we hear? Today, if he speaks to me, how do I position myself to listen and to listen well? Well, the first thing is, I believe, is that I must have a believing heart. I must have a believing heart. There's one of the things that he says in verse 12 is, hey, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that moves away from the living God, or that falls away from the living God. In other words, there's an examination that takes place in my life that says, do I really, really believe God? And I don't want to stiffen my neck, and that's what he says in verses 7 and following. Hey, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Have a believing heart. Have a heart that hears the word of God. You know, when God speaks, he'll instruct, he'll reprove, he'll teach, he'll train, he'll lead, he'll encourage. Those are the things that the word of God does. Let me say that again. The word will instruct you, reprove you, teach you, train you, lead you, encourage you. And if I want to hear God, because I know this about my life, you know, there's times that I'm discouraged and I don't want to hear a word of encouragement. I like it just the way I am. Well, you like that? You like being discouraged? And yet I'll come along, Johnny will come along and she'll speak a word into me. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. Today, if you hear his voice, Richard, don't harden your heart. You're discouraged, you need an encouraging word, I got one for you. Why are you walking away from it? Why aren't you going to let that person, why aren't you going to let your wife, why aren't you going to let that staff person, that elder, that person around coffee to encourage you? Because that's what he does, and I miss the opportunity. I hear that word, but I miss it because I harden my heart, because I'm not going to do that. Or I'm not going to do that. You know, we've had a great season here. We've had Lauren and her family living with us. And it's been a joy. I mean, it's been a joy. But bedtime, when Baylor's time to go to sleep, it's like he's never gone to sleep before. Yeah. Sleep? What's that? I'm not going to do that. You know. Now, I'm not saying that's a stubborn heart, but it could become one. But that's how we are. I'm not going to do that. I want to do that. And yet God's instructing us and showing us and encouraging us. And we've got a body that's encouraging us, just like he says today, encourage one another. But sometimes we don't want to hear it. We like the way we look. We like the way we are right now. Matter of fact, it gets a little more attention from people. Matter of fact, have you ever thought of that? When I'm negative, I get a little more attention than I do when I'm positive. So I'll just be negative. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden. Come with a believing heart to that word. When you're reading your Bible, just this expectation, an expectation that says God speaks and he wants to speak today. And therefore, I want to believe that. I want to be careful that I'm not having this unbelieving heart, but that what God says is true and what God says is right. Keep your place here for just a moment and go to Luke chapter 8, if you would. It's the great story of the parable of the sower. It's recorded a few times here, and you know, many of you know the story. It's a parable. It's a parable of this guy. He's got a sack of seed, and he's sowing. He's bought that seed to sow seed so that he might plant, and he might reap a harvest. And he says in verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road. It was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other seed fell upon the thorns, and thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into good soil, and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said as he said these things, he called out, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to his voice. Listen to the voice of God. And then in verse 11, he says, the parable is this. The seed is God's word. Now those beside the road, verse 12, are those who have heard, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no firm root, and they just believe for a while. And in time, temptation, they fall away. And the seed which falls among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of life, and it brings no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word. Now watch this. In an honest and good heart. And they hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. I love what Luke says about this. He says it's an honest and good heart. It's a believing heart. The word comes, I believe it. Now, it doesn't mean I don't struggle with that belief along the way. It's just that I'm staying focused to believe and to come to this word and to come to these situations believing that God has my best, that God has my back, that God has my front, that God has my side, and that he's leading me to good places, because that's what the shepherd does. The shepherd always leads to good places. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he always leads. So why should I doubt that? But the problem is we get to the valley of the shadow of death and we say, God, shepherd, what are you doing here? Why are you bringing me through this season? Why are you bringing me through this life? Just, hey, come to me with a believing heart. Just an honest, good heart. And you know what? We'll get through it because I'm right here with you. But that's not what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to respond somewhere else. And therefore, we don't end up past the valley of the shadow of death, the trial, where God really wants us to be. But if I have a believing heart, an honest, a good heart, I come ready to hear God's word, to hear what he has to say to me in the morning. And listen, and I'm not telling you how to do that. I mean, I'm just not. It's different for all of us how God speaks to us. It's just the thing is that I want to eat God's word. I want to live on God's word. I want to live on Scripture. I want Scripture to be a part of my life so that it's always pointing me in the right direction. It's always pointing me to our God. Have a believing heart. The Bible says they didn't have a believing heart. Matter of fact, in verse 19, they didn't enter in. They didn't go from A to B. They didn't go to B to C. They didn't get to the place that God wants them to believe because of their unbelief. The second thing that I see in the scripture is when I hear the voice of God, to have this believing heart, this expectation heart. But the second thing is I need to learn His ways. God's ways are not like my ways. They're not like your ways. Look at verse 10, just in the middle of that verse. They always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. God's ways are different from yours. They're from mine. In some way, at times, His ways do not make sense, do they? It doesn't make sense to love my enemy. It doesn't make sense to love the one that hurt me. And that's what God says, love your enemies. Forgive your offenders. That's a hard thing to do. Forgive your... That's God's way. That's not my way. That's not my flesh way. That's God's way. When I learn God's way, by the way, God's way being done in my life, when He forgave me, the sinner, and the offender, and let that go. Let that go. Learn His ways. God forgives sinners. God changes people. God makes bad things into good. God takes the things that the enemy means for evil and makes it good. That's God's ways. And I've got to learn those ways and remember those ways. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense, and I don't want to do it. And I do, I don't want to do that. I want to forgive that. I want to wallow in that a little longer. I want to wallow in that. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to let that go. Why would I let that go right now? Because it's God's ways, not your ways. It's God's ways. Listen, when I'm following God's ways, I'm moving to those places. But if I'm following my way, I can look back over my journey, and then I can look forward, and I say, I'm still not in the place that I need to be. Because I'm just not going to believe that right now. I don't think that's good for me right now. To forgive, to love my enemies, to pray for those who persecute, to give, and know that it'll be given back. Listen, when I know God, I know His ways. I know His works. I know how He operates. And you know, I want to be able to get to these places to know, God, this believing heart, and this is Your way, God. And therefore, I will trust You. So that when things are going hard, it's God's way to take the things that are hard and transform us into His image, into His likeness. To get to those places. Listen, that's why it's so important to keep listening. Just to keep listening to God. And I see this over and over, and I see the temptation in my own life, and I see the seasons in my own life where I say, I'm not going to do that. Oh, I know I got to do it one day, but I'm not going to do that right now. So I just remain miserable and unhappy and unfulfilled. And then what happens is the week goes into the month, and the month goes into the year, and the year goes into 5 years, and the 5 years goes into 10 years, because I didn't want to do that. But when I learn God's ways, it's a breath of fresh air. And when I cross the threshold to forgive or to give or to do that which doesn't make sense, fruit. And what happens is that I line myself up to God's ways and not that way. And therefore, I become patient, and I'm kind, loving, good, thankful, grateful, because my eyes are on Him and His ways. You know, there's a third thing, and I'll just give this to you real quick because we're about to close here, but I want to share something. Respond appropriately to His voice. Just respond appropriately. There's an appropriate way. And you remember we just talked about, listen, the Word of God will encourage you, so respond to the encouragement. Receive it. If there's an instruction, do it. That's the response. Just do it, okay? I love the story in Luke chapter 5 when Peter's called. And when he was called, he's been fishing all night. Remember that? He's fishing all night long, doesn't catch anything. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, pitch your net on the other side for catch. Let out your nets. He's already... that's the second time that happens. The first time it happens in Luke chapter 5, they're at the shore, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, get out back out there and put down your nets for catch. God, we've caught nothing all night long. This doesn't make sense. I've been fishing this lake for years and years and years and years, and I know that one more cast is not going to make a whole lot of difference. We're tired. We've just cleaned our nets, and we're going to get them dirty again. God, it doesn't make sense, but God, at Your word, I'll do it. He listened to the voice of God. Biggest catch of his life. Biggest catch of his life. Of doing something that didn't make sense. Just didn't make sense. Now, you know, about a year ago in July, even before that, I got on this little journey of just wanting to hear God and everything. I mean, how novel, right? Where have you been for 50 years, right? To hear God and everything? Yeah, I want to be led by the Spirit, because the Bible says, be led by the Spirit. And the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit. They hear the Spirit, they're led by the Spirit. And if you were here last year, and or even the year before, things around here financially were really, really tough. I mean, they've been tough. And so we got to a place last July that I'm just asking God, I want to hear you. What's going on here? And it was at the Lake Proctor. We had our Lake Proctor Fellowship a year ago, and it was July. And I got up in the morning, and that was a Wednesday, and that Wednesday night we were going to head to the lake. And I'm just going to tell you what I believe God told me. Okay? This is what he told me. He said, you know, you personally really do a good job in tithing, but your church doesn't. And you think because you've got all these other things happening around you that that's sufficient. I'd like for you to tithe. I'd like for you to lead your church to tithe 10%. Of whatever comes in. Well, at that particular point, we've gone through 19 weeks of being $2,000 behind. 19 weeks of being $2,000 behind on budget. Okay, we're averaging $9,000. But it just sounds so right. Didn't make sense. But it just sounds so right. So I go into Steve's office. We're getting ready to meet with elders and financial officers. And I go into Steve's office, and a lot of you may not know Steve, but Steve is our administrator. And, I mean, he is conservative, right? Okay. Do I have to say that? Conservative. And I went into the office while he was preparing some notes and some charts and some things. And I said, hey, I want to tell you what I really feel like God's asking of us, and that is to give 10% of everything that comes in and to begin it now. He says immediately, we need to do that. And I forgot to tell you this, but when we got to the lake, I asked Carol Griggs, who's on our financial office. I said, hey, Carol, what do you think's going on here? And she said, you know what? I just think it has something to do with our stewardship. Not sure what it is, but stewardship, the stewardship of our money. And I said, well, let me tell you what God, I feel like God told me. And she said, oh, we've got to do that. So we go into elders, we go into financial officers meeting, and they say, and I say, this is what I feel like God's calling us to do right now. Begin it now. We'll point three or four of you, and we'll decide where the 10% goes, or we'll just put it aside and we'll give it, and we'll just do it. And remarkably, the answer was yes, we must do that. And then we got this talking about it, and somebody said, well, if it gets bad again, are we going to keep doing it? I said, it can't get any worse than this, and we're doing it. Yes, it's a good thing. It's good stewardship. It's God's way. Give and it shall be given to you, right? That's God's way. When you know God's way and you obey, wonderful things happen. And so we began this journey. Now, I got to tell you about Steve. I wish he was here, but I've said it before, but Steve, the next day we were having coffee, he says, Mike, I just want to tell you. If we do this and budget keeps doing the same, we'll be out of money by November. And I said, at least, don't you agree, at least we were wanting to listen to the voice of God, and we did what we thought God asked us to do. Yes. I want you to see this graph for a minute, okay? I know it's kind of shaky. I took a picture of it, okay? The blue is 52-week average, okay, of year 2010. The red's 2011, and this 12. Now, I want you to look at the V, where the V is in the yellow, to the day that we decided to get 10%. That's what's happened. That's what's happened. To the day it began this climb. And I look at that, and I looked at that the other morning. It was a couple of weeks ago, and I said, "Can I take a picture of that? I want to take a picture of this because it is a picture. It's a great illustration of what God says about giving." But let's say this is not a graph of giving. Okay, This is a graph of relationships. This is a graph of forgiveness. This is a graph of praying for those who persecute you. This is a graph of your life. That at some point in your life, you said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And then at some point, July 3rd, 2012, you said, I want to do that. And I want to forgive that person. And I'm going to love that wife. And I'm going to love that husband. And I'm going to give what God asked me to give. And I'm going to submit to the things that God's asking me to do. I'm going to do. See, because that's just money. It's money. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Come in with a believing heart. Believe that what God's saying, He's wanting to lead you. When you come to the Word of God, know His ways. Those things sometimes don't make sense. But I'm just telling you, any of us who have even walked remotely in these things, know that when we cross the threshold, there's a relief and God begins to do something fresh and new. And I want to ask the question today. Are you responding properly to the voice of God? I want you to bow with me in prayer right now. Would you do that? Are you responding to the promise, to the Word of God, appropriately? I want to give you this morning an opportunity to respond. You know, I guess we've gone about several weeks or a few months that we've not had an altar call or invitation. I'd like to do that right now. I really believe that God has moved in this service in many ways. What I love about that graph is it speaks about a lot of things. But what I really believe it says into my heart is today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Where have you hardened your heart? Where have you said, I'm not going to do that? I'm not going to push through that. I'm not going to push through that relationship. That guy hurt me. That gal hurt me. And my hurt is more important than the relationship. My hurt is more important than the church. My hurt is more important than the glory of God. Today, if you hear His voice, come with a believing heart. The thing about just obeying God and doing those things that God asks us to do, it's really, that's why John said it's not a burden, it's a joy. Oh, it's hard because there's some things that we have to decide. But when we learn His ways, follow after those ways, oh, God works. Where have you hardened your heart today? Now, I just want to tell you this. I believe that God's gracious and God is merciful and He's loving. And all I hear God say is that wonderful hymn, I come just as I am. I'm hurt, I'm broken, I'm struggling, I'm angry. And so I'm going to come just as I am, and I'm going to come right now to You to meet the need. And Lord, I want to hear Your voice. I want to hear it. And Lord, I've heard Your voice, and I've not done what You've asked me to do. And so today's a day that I'm going to start moving toward it. I'm going to start moving toward it. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've started moving toward it, but I'm not doing a good job at it. Well, that's where we come and we depend on our God so that we might listen and respond appropriately. To listen to His word and to His voice and say, ah, that's God's ways and that's not my way. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to move toward it and respond appropriately. So we're going to pray and we're going to sing a song called Stronger. Is that right? Yeah. And I hope they'll be able to play it in invitation form. Is that okay? Yeah. And I just want you to, if you need to come to this altar, come. If you need to pray with somebody, I'm going to have, let's see, Teresa is right here. Jeanette's going to be on the front row. She's going to stand right on the front row. I want Dale and Kathy Collin, would you come on up real quick, okay, for prayer? Daniel Viss, would you come on up for prayer, okay? And I'm here to receive you if you need prayer as well. Yeah, just come on and they're going to be on the front row, okay? And just come to the front row, okay? If you need prayer, somebody. If you need to come to the altar, you need to come individually as a couple, come on to the altar and pray, okay? And of course, if you just need to make the place where you're sitting an altar, do that right now. Do that right now, okay? Let's stand together. Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move us to the things that you are moving us toward, and that today we'd hear your voice. Yeah, I need chants up also, okay? Chants up also. All right. All right. All right. You respond.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious.